The world put our Lord Jesus upon that cruel cross and crucified him. I, as a Christian, a disciple of Christ, to take up his cross, can never again love the world. And anything that creeps into my life that would allure me to, for a moment or a day, to love the world, its lusts and its passions and its pride, I must repent of it. I must turn my back on it. I must plead the cleansing power of Jesus' blood to wash me and cleanse me from those temptations and allurements, that I do not ever follow the world again, but that I continue to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Today we're turning to the Lord's letter to the church at Sardis. We're going to call it the sick church. That will help us to remember the message which God has for this people. Let's read the letter and then we'll seek the Lord's help. Revelation chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before thy Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Again, we're looking at this church that is ready to die, and we are warned that every church, if it is not faithful, if it is not active, if it is not zealous, will die. We are swimming upstream. This is a spiritual battle, and we can never rest on our lees. We need to be shaken up. We need to be brought to the place of active yearning for the blessing of God. And we need power. That's the great need. And we have the text this new year of Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I trust that you will take that to heart even today. So stay tuned now as we let the Bible speak from the pulpit of our church on Sardis, the church that is about to die.
Also, we are told here that we are to hear. To be watchful is to hear. Now, let's get back to verse 3 and notice that the list is right in here. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Now, the hearing of God's word is very important. And we're not just talking about volume, the clarity of the voice, and your ability to receive and hear the voice at your end. It's how you take that word into your heart. You must receive it by faith. You must hear it, that you listen for the voice of God. And a prayer that a Christian should make when we go to the Bible, when we come to the preaching of the word, you should be praying, now, Lord, have a message for me tonight. Have a word for my heart and for my decisions, for my walk. I need to hear your voice, Lord. Now, I know it's this old screechy voice of mine that you're listening to right now, but I'm just the messenger. The Lord speaks through his word, and preaching should be received and heard by faith personally. And you don't sit in the back seat and look around and say, oh, that'll do her good and that'll do him good. It's you that you need to be concerned about. Hearing with an obedient, ready spirit. Then also in verse 3 it says that we're to hold fast. Remember, receive, heard, and hold fast. That means a no-surrender attitude. Too many have fallen for the softy tactics, the modernist, liberal, pansy attitude, rather than the stiff fight for the faith. We are called to do battle. We are called to put on the armor and to stand. And the command here is to hold fast. Now, for the Christian, that is relatively easy, because we have in the scriptures absolute truth. If you were at Simon Fraser University listening to the philosophies of the day, you would have a difficult time, because philosophers today do not believe in absolute truth. Nothing's fixed, nothing's firm, it's always moving, subjective, whatever. But in the Church of Christ, with the Bible in our hands, we have absolute truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And with this inspired book, we can take our stand and hold fast to his word. And I have to ask myself from time to time, are we in this church holding fast? Or are we moving on to some new message, some other gospel? Now, I can't claim to be the smartest pastor or leader in the church, but I can look back over nearly 40 years and I can say this: I'm still preaching out of the same Bible. I haven't changed it in 40 years. I'm still preaching the same doctrine. When I was 25, I was ordained in the church that called me back there in Northern Ireland. And the presbytery required that I subscribe or testify to the doctrines according to the Westminster Confession of Faith. If you were in Sunday school here this morning, we had chapter 7 out of the Westminster Confession of Faith. So I am still preaching the same doctrine. And I haven't changed direction to the right or to the left. And I can truly say that I believe in the blood atonement. I believe in the cross work of Christ with all my heart. And I love the cross more tonight than I've ever loved the cross in all my life. Last night, I finished up my preparation for Sunday a little before supper time. And I spent the evening reading. And I got down a volume of Robert Raymond's theology book on the atonement. And I have read some precious statements and truths right there in that word. And it's very biblical, very scriptural. But the things, and he quoted John Murray, Professor John Murray, who had been a Scottish theologian, went to Philadelphia, taught at Westminster Seminary for a long time. And some of the quotes were just heartwarming. And my burden is to preach the cross. And coming up to the Easter season, I want to preach the cross. And my only lament is that I can't preach it better than I do. And I need your prayers for that. But we want to hold fast. Not just to history, not just to old school. We want to hold to the cross. that instrument of God's appointment to reconcile guilty sinners to a holy God and bring us into a right relationship, justified, just as if we had never sinned. That is what strengthens the church. Will you stand with us? Maybe you're not settled in a ministry. I would ask you to seriously consider standing with this small congregation in the heat of the day, in the battle, to preach Christ crucified to a lost world. That's what we're about. It's not just about historic Presbyterianism. It's not just about, you know, old stuck in the mud doesn't ever want to change. We have a glorious message that the world greatly needs. We're thankful for this open door, for the radio ministry, for the freedoms we have. But we need to hold fast that we might never budge from the great commission of the gospel. Now, one more thing is listed here concerning holding to be watchful and to remember, and that is to repent. This has come up a lot, hasn't it? There's been a lot of instruction to these churches to repent. Now, when you think about it, the Christian life is really an ongoing process of repenting. And if you're growing in grace, you will be repenting more than you did yesterday and last year and when you first became a Christian. Because the more that you realize the enormity, the evil of the world, and what it did in its rebellion to God, it murdered God's Son. The world put our Lord Jesus upon that cruel cross and crucified him. I, as a Christian, a disciple of Christ, to take up his cross, can never again love the world. And anything that creeps into my life that would allure me to, for a moment or a day, to love the world, its lusts and its passions and its pride, I must repent of it. I must turn my back on it. I must plead the cleansing power of Jesus' blood to wash me and cleanse me from those temptations and allurements, that I do not ever follow the world again, but that I continue to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And our eyes get open to the vileness of sin in every shape and form. Sins are really seeds of hell. They are nails that are driven into the body of the Lord Jesus. Sin is a viper with the devil's poison in it to take sinners to hell. And therefore, the more we grow in grace, the more Christ-like we desire to become, the more sanctification we have in our own souls, the more we are called to repent and turn from everything that smacks of evil, the very appearance of evil, and turn away from it. And in doing that, we strengthen the Lord's church. What is it that weakens the church? The church gets weakened when God's people dabble with the world and begin to return and bring the things of the world even into the church. And so we need to be strengthened. My prayer for my own heart, my own life, is, Lord, lead me nearer to the cross and away from the world. Make me more like my Savior and less like the world. Will you pray that? If you don't, it'll weaken you. It'll ruin you. You'll not advance. And your life will not be a blessing. We need this attitude of repentance constantly. Now, I know when we preach to an unsaved, unconverted sinner, the first message is you need to repent. You need to change your mind about sin, the world, and you need to turn around 180 degrees, that's repentance, and look to Christ to save you. But we don't stop repenting. And I'm sure as we pause a moment here, there are things perhaps in your life that you need to repent of tonight, that you need to get on your knees and pray for forgiveness over, because they're coming between you and the Lord. They're hindering your advance. And instead of strengthening you, they're weakening you. And whatever's weakening you really becomes sin in your life. And so this is the instruction the Lord gives to this church. You have a name to live, but you're dying. Watch. Receive. Feed. Hear the voice of God again. What's the next one? Hold fast. Repent. These are the instructions that we might strengthen the things that remain. Then lastly, we come to be overcomers against the defilement of sin. Overcomers. Let's just read on down the passage a little bit. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Just a few. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. The Lord saved you and me to be overcomers. He not only saved us to pardon us from sin, but he saved us from the pollution of sin. He did not save you to live in bondage. He went to the cross. He shed his blood. He poured out his life to give his life into your soul. Christ in you, the hope of glory, to live a new life. And of course, his desire and plan is that you walk in white. Now we need to overcome those even in the church who are living in sin. That's a hard thing to say. That's a hard thing to say. But the church of the Lord Jesus today is living in a very difficult time. And in this church at Sardis, there were just a few remaining who remained worthy and had been overcomers. The remainder within the church had sold themselves out to the ways of sin. And that becomes a real battle. You see, the battle for the church is not fought outside of her. It's fought inside of her. The real war for the church is in the church. You've heard the description of worship wars. And we've had in our generation this contemporary way of worship, bring in the guitars, bring in the drum set, bring in the contemporary music, get rid of the hymn books, destroy all those things, and let's have a more contemporary way of worship. And it has led to war within the church. And usually the seniors lose. And they make all kinds of change and amendments to accommodate the young. But there's a battle in the Lord's church for purity of worship. Verse 3, we need to overcome those who do not repent. When this instruction came to the church at Sardis, repent or else. If they do not, notice what will happen in the middle of verse 3. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. And so, what are we saying? The judgment begins in the house of God, right here. And it comes down to the leadership of the church. It comes down to the attitudes in worship, in reverence, in the ministry, the message. And where men do not repent of the world, and they bring those things within, somebody's got to stand up to be an overcomer. Are you willing to take that stand? Or have you decided, I'm just going to go with the flow and drift along? The Lord Jesus told the parable of the wheat and the tares. It's a difficult one to interpret, because in that parable, the Lord said that there's going to be, even in the kingdom, the true wheat and the tares growing side by side. And there were those who would come and rip up those tares immediately. But the husbandman or the owner said, no, let both grow together until harvest. And in the harvest time, gather the wheat into the barn and the tares into bundles to be burned. There's a harvest coming. In the church of the Lord Jesus, we need grace that we don't do more harm than good by ripping up the tares. There are people who come to church who do not have the spiritual maturity we would desire. They do not bear the evidences of grace that we would desire. We cannot search with infallibility each and every heart. But our job is to remind them of the harvest, of the judgment day, and call men, women, young people to repent. That's the work of our ministry. We can't directly change hearts and just drive people away. But we can exercise a ministry that calls God's people to purity, Christ-likeness, and to true service for God. We need power to overcome, and those who do not walk in white. This is a strange one in verse 5. Look at that. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. It's a strange thing that people want the church, but not the Christ who is the head of the church, nor the righteousness that clothes his church. The gospel of Christ's righteousness is really a foreign concept to the ungodly. This garment that is weaved and made perfect to clothe the believer, which is our victory. And you'll notice here, that's the only way to keep your name in the book of life, if you're walking in white, and if you're clinging to the white righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Now, to put it in more concrete terms, this is the imputation, the transfer of all the perfections, all the perfect works of the Lord Jesus from the cradle to the cross. Every act of humiliation, every act of godliness and obedience to his Father, every miracle, every mercy, every word and deed, all the 33 years that Jesus, the Son of God, lived in a human body, he was perfecting, he was earning a perfect righteousness. And the gospel promise is that when we believe in Christ, that righteousness is transferred or imputed to your account. It's given to you personally, and therefore you are made to walk in white and to stand before God perfectly. Now, those who plead their own righteousness in the church or out of it have no hope, have no gospel. You cannot plead the church's righteousness. We learn today that the Roman Catholic Church claims to be a bank of grace And the church is invested with this reservoir of grace. And the priest, when he administers various rites, that grace is dispensed. That is false. The church is but a ministry to declare what Christ gives to his people by faith. The wonder is that these perfections of Christ are put to our account. We didn't earn them. We didn't deserve them. But the Lord gives them by faith. There's a great hymn called Jesus, Thy Blood in Righteousness. And I noted that it's written by Count Zinzendorf, the German preacher. He was the founder of the Moravians. They had some rare ideas. For example, they took decisions by casting lots, got themselves into all kinds of trouble. John and Charles Wesley met the Moravians and they started doing the same thing and got themselves into all kinds of trouble by casting lots. But Count Zinzendorf and the Moravians had a tremendous love for the gospel. And when he wrote the hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. And our hymnal doesn't have all the stanzas, but here's a beautiful one. This spotless robe, the same appears when ruined nature sinks in years. No age can change its glorious hue. The robe of Christ is ever new. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that worth laying hold of tonight? Loving the Lord's church, serving Him, being an overcomer, clinging to the perfect righteousness that Jesus came all the way from heaven to earn, perfect, and He gives it to you and me by simple faith. What a gospel!
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when, once more, we let the Bible speak.